There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. Midday Mobile on this Friday. Another couple hours of live local talk. I'm sure glad you are here. My name is Sean. The digits, the phone number, the text line, the same, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. If you want to, hop on the line. Let's talk. We'll do that. Also, coming up on today's show, we'll run through some guests, and then I want to get to... a couple of items of interest for next week. We'll put that out. But first, lineup for today coming up in just about 25 minutes or so. My man Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. This continues to be a, I don't know, it's like every time you go click Lanyap, there's a new story that's got folks talking. And this one, what's going on with HUD here in the city of Mobile? Their headline in Dale's story, MHA president, so Mobile Housing Board president, Michael Pierce says he's being bullied. We'll talk about that with Dale coming up in just a little bit. Also, guest in hour number two of the show, I get to see this guy a lot when I'm at the Battleship, when do the shows out there, see him at his restaurants. I don't know if I've ever had him in studio. My friend Panini Pete, he's got a new book coming out. Yeah, that Panini Pete, the one you know for like cooking. Being on TV too, but he's got a book coming out. We're going to talk about that with him. Plus, my friend Joe Savage from Roads of Hope joins us in the 1 o'clock hour as well. So lots coming up on Midday Mobile today, and it is a Friday. That means Constitutional Quiz brought to you by L&S Air. Big thank you to Larry Skoda for making this possible. Your chance to win fantastic prizes. They're logoed with the FM Talk 106.5 logo and get in the running for up to $600. Just has to be able to be first in and the correct. Have the correct answer in the constitutional quiz. We'll explain more about that coming up in just a few. All right, starting off though, if you'll look at our Facebook page, the fantastic Facebook page put together by Leanna, you go over there, you'll see a note about this being National Bartender Day. National Bartender Day. And there's people that hand drinks across some across a bar, and then there's bartenders, right? You know. I'm sorry to say that when we do this each year, we're probably just people that hand drinks across the bar, but there's great bartenders out there. We can celebrate them on this National Bartenders Day, but also use this as a way to remind you, coming up on Tuesday at Fairhope Brewing Company, we're back. So Fairhope Brewing each year has their guest bartender event. That means people get to come out, work the bar, serve the beers, and the tips all go to a charity. Different charities for us. That charity is Fight or Die, a local charity with local roots, a global charity. We got the Whoopi, the boat they're about to row across the Atlantic, sitting on the other side of the Atlantic at La Gomera. This is a charity that works with veterans, also works with civilians to help them interact better with veterans on mental health issues. They're one of our favorites. They are our charity this year. So I'm going to be out there on Tuesday. Dalton and Dan, all three of us, will be slinging beers at Fairhope Brewing. So make sure to see us. We'll be slinging beers from 5 to 7. That is going on Tuesday, so put that on your to-do, and all the tips that you do go to Fight or Die. And y'all were so fantastic last year. I'd love to see y'all again, and keep it up. That's on our Facebook page if you want more information, or you can always just text me here or send me an email, and we'll get you the info on that. So that's coming up on Tuesday. Also, coming up like from next week on is Locals Only Christmas, the thing I do every year where I roll out locally made items, some services, mostly items, and give you a Christmas list to be able to buy pretty unique and local gifts. Need your help as well. So this list builds every year because y'all send me information about either yourself or someone you know or somebody who is making a product locally. And that, when I say locally, Mobile, Baldwin County's Southeast Mississippi, Northwest Florida, plus like Washington County, in Clark County, Monroe County, Escambia County, they're all in. I mean, we'll stretch further if need be. So send an email to me, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. And give me, if you know of a person making these products, it might be you, send it to me. And give me an information that I need here to put it on the list, like the name of the product, picture of the product, website, contact info, all that good stuff. And then coming up next week, we'll start rolling out our Locals Only 2022 Christmas list brought to you by the folks at Greer's Markets. Big thank you to them as well. All right, so a few things that have rolled out. Let's go to the top news story of the day. You probably heard there in the newscast, the jobs report. It's good. And we're going to look at this. So the headline here. This one from CNBC. Payrolls and wages blow past expectations, flying in the face of Fed rate hikes. It's like tempting the Fed, right? The Fed had already said, I think it was yesterday, that they weren't going to go for as much of an increase in interest rates as before because they saw the economy cooling. But then you get this. Non-farm payrolls increased 263,000 for the month, while the unemployment rate was 3.7%, according to the Labor Department this morning. Payroll number was well above the 200,000 estimate, while the unemployment rate was in line. Average hourly earnings jumped 0.6% for the month, double the estimate, and 5.1% annually versus the 4.6% expectation. Now, just taking a side here, we'll take many asides to this. It's a good thing you have those going up because the price of everything's going up. Yeah, this is the problem. You look at this 0.6% increase out there. What's inflation rate at? Like, you may make more money. Is your lifestyle changing to the positive or to the negative? And that's not a rhetorical question. It's just a frank question. It does say job growth was much better than expected in November, despite the Federal Reserve's aggressive efforts to slow the labor market and tackle inflation. So it seems like they could have gotten together, the Fed and Department of Labor, before it came out. Because the Fed came out, you know, this week saying, hey, we're going to back down for these bigger hikes we've done on the interest rate. And then you have the jobs number come out way ahead. Now what is the Fed going to do? They're going to double down? So this is, love the idea of more people having jobs. But the problem is, you look at this across the board, is the Fed going to cause there to be more inflation because what they've done so far has not slowed it down? It said in the zones here, it said, another blow to the Fed's anti-inflation efforts, average hourly earnings jumped 0.6% for the month, double the Dow Jones estimate. Wages were up 5.1% on a year-to-year basis, also well above the 4.6% expectation. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 200 points after the report, and the hot jobs data could make the Fed even more aggressive. There you go. This is the problem. You get a headline, gets laid out there, and it seems good, right? Because, well, I mean, we want people to have jobs. We want what it's about. Right? You got to have jobs. We want people to have good jobs and have jobs that earn them money, that outpaces inflation. But now the Fed's in a pickle here where the Fed's going to be going, okay, well, we haven't done enough yet. Said leisure and hospitality led job gains, including 88,000 positions out there. Construction added 20,000 positions. Information technology up 19,000. Manufacturing saw a gain of 14,000. On the downside, retail establishments, where you got to go buy the stuff, right, that's inflated, reported a loss of 30,000 positions. And that's November. That's going into, I don't know if y'all noticed, it's December now. It's Christmas season. It's like when retail gets its retail on. It's when retail be retailing. So that's very interesting to me. You see these other sectors that jumped up in November, but here's retail, which should be ramping up for December. Hiring people. Hiring part-time. Getting people in there, right, to sell you the stuff that they have to sell. And they're the division that has lost. says, it goes back to this in the CNBC story and said the numbers have come as the Fed has raised rates a half a dozen times this year, including four consecutive 0.75 percentage point increases. Now, we know earlier in the week, Fed's talking about, well, they're not going to go up as much. What if they pull that back now? And we pull that back and what that means for how long the inflation rise will last. And then there's other stories, and this would be predictable for, because you could say it's partisan, right? Because I could do these stories about, like, what was MSN had a workforce participation rate drop, something I've talked about a bunch. I know Jeff Poor has here, even in our state. You have an unemployment rate. Those are people trying to find a job. But what about people that leave the workforce? So as we laid out that story and what's happening right now on the jobs numbers, which is a good thing. I want folks in those sectors to have jobs. I'm also worried about the bigger picture. Number one, that retail number is pretty scary, that's down. But beyond that, are we really talking about the number of people that should be working in our economy? MSN story says, the share of Americans either working or actively looking for a job fell to 62.1%. So now remember, we talk about the unemployment rate of the people that are actively looking for a job. So the share of Americans either working or actively looking for a job has fallen to 62.1%. What about when that number gets to 50%? What if it got to 50? You know, I wonder where France is. I think France is somewhere, I mean, I don't think they're 50, but I think they're like 55 or something like that. You got children in the mix and all that. I get it. But you have this big share of Americans that are not either working or trying to find a job. Goes on to say, it fell to 62.1%, down from 62.4% in August, matching the post-pandemic high reached in March, but remains significantly below where it was before the pandemic. So, not that this is news to most of y'all, but coming out of the pandemic, there's quite a few Americans that just checked out. So, when you look at those unemployment numbers and things are good and people get, well, you're only dealing with 62% of Americans that are actively looking for a job. What does that do? Fewer workers for more jobs is inflationary pressure on the salaries. It's another inflationary pressure. At the same time, the retail side or what anything you're buying is outpacing that inflation in cost. Goes on to say the participation rate for so-called prime age workers, those 25 to 54, holy crap, I'm within 4 years of not being a prime-age worker. Sweet. Also dropped to 82.4%. So now we're talking 25 to 54. Drops to 82. So only out of, I mean, think about that. 25 to 54. Not kids, right? Not retirees. I mean, prime-time working years is dropped to 82.4%. So out of the people in that age, only 82%, 82.4%, are either actively employed or looking for a job. Does it not feel like the legs can come out from underneath an economy when those numbers come out? I mean, there's only so many independently wealthy people or people that decided to go live up on the side of a mountain, which I've considered several times just this week, to drop that number. I mean, you have, so let's flip it around. You have 18% of prime age workers, 25 to 54, that are not employed and not looking for a job in our economy. The participation has declined for both men and women. They did break this down. Larger share of female workers left the labor force last month. So there's those as we you roll into a Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Want to hear from you? What do you think? I mean, any of those things stand out to you? I mean, the easier number is everybody, right? But let's look at that workforce participation rate for 25 to 54-year-old, 82%. But, and speaking of all that kind of stuff, too, I got a story out. You'll now need a six-figure salary to afford an average U.S. home. We'll put that in the mix when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1225 FM Talk 1065 Midday Mobile. Hi, I'm Sean. Glad to have you all along. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's a friend of mine, Trey. A homeboy. Been knowing Trey for a long time. And for 14 years, I've been knowing that Trey's running 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Used them here at the station. Used them in my home. Used them in a house we're getting ready to sell. A storage unit for the station. Dan's used them. Dalton's used them. A bunch of us have used them. We could give you our personal stories, or you can go online and look at the reviews. You know, those review sites. Look for your local 1-800-GOT-JUNK and see what great work that they've done for folks around here. I've had people call in this radio show to talk about their experience with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's whatever. I mean, you're trying to get ready for Christmas. You need more space to hide the Christmas presents. You got friends, family coming in, they're going to have to stay. Listen, you got junk, get it. Or a pro tip, if you're going to make a New Year's resolution to get organized and cleaned up around the house, easiest way to do that is have fewer things. There's some wisdom, some sage wisdom for you. If you got junk, it could be big stuff in the backyard. I mean, the number of above-ground swimming pools and swing sets and all that kind of stuff that Trey and the crew do, it's like a normal thing for them. It could be inside your house, it could be outside your house. Like I said, storage unit you want cleaned out, anything, house you're getting ready to sell. You need the junk gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So make the appointment. You do it online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll find a day that works for you. They'll find a window of time that works for you, and they book a good old-fashioned appointment. Do the same thing when you pick up the phone. The name is the number, and give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, get to a couple of these texts here, and then I'm going to give you the story about what it takes to buy a house in this country. This texter says, I was able to buy things I didn't necessarily need when Trump was president. Now I have to sell all those things. This texter says, I'm getting a pay raise, and now my health insurance cost is up to the cost more than my pay raise. So you're going backwards, right? A dirt digger. All right, man. Good to hear from you. Said, Sean, the wages are up to keep the employees that they have so they can pay for inflated goods and services, smoke and mirrors. Correct. Dirt Digger, 100% correct. The problem is when you start looking at the labor participation rate and how many people are out of that, there's more people that are going to need. They're not all billionaires that are out of the labor participation, right? So they need services from the government. You have fewer people paying into them. And that core 25 to 54-year-old number at 82% is not good. It's not good at all. You just wonder, you know, when the legs will come out. God, I hope they don't. But would the legs come out of that from underneath? Okay, this quickly here, this story from the folks over at The Motley Fool, which is if you'd like to pay attention to financial things, money, I like these guys because they're nonpartisan. They're going to skewer both parties. They're just talking money. This story over there says, you'll now need a six-figure salary to afford the average U.S. home. Gosh, so much has changed. Home prices and mortgage rates are sky high these days. We know that. And the cost of home ownership ideally shouldn't exceed 30% of your take-home pay, right? You had that conversation growing up like, oh, what shouldn't be more than 30%. Based on that, the average wage earner may not be in a position to afford a home until prices and mortgage rates come down. Yeah. It says it's probably not a secret that the cost of home ownership has risen substantially over the past couple of years due to a combination of elevated home prices and higher mortgage rates. But new data out from Redfin, which I guess is a company that tracks this, reveals that to be able to afford the average U.S. home, so this is across the country, you need a salary of $107,281. That assumes a monthly mortgage payment of $2,682. How about that? Six figures to be able to afford the average U.S. home. So a year ago, it took a salary of $73,668 to afford the average home. That's some change. It's now $107,281 to afford the average U.S. home. Just last year, $73,668. Then you got a bunch of people not working either. Huh. All right, Dale Leash, Lanyap Mobile is on the way. Plus, constitutional quiz coming up this hour. Your chance to win big with your constitutional knowledge.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
right, and we're back. 1235 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Dale Leash with Lanyap on the way in just a second. Tell you about the folks at Omaha Steaks. So I've been a receiver and a giver of Omaha Steaks for years now, and on both fronts, thumbs up. Love it. Omaha Steaks, let's talk about it as a gift for a second. You've heard me go on and on how much I love Omaha Steaks, but as a gift, it's a super winner as well. You can achieve gifting greatness when you give the gift of perfectly aged, tender, and delicious Omaha Steaks. You send those packages, like I send to my sister. She lives down in South Florida. I've got family in the Northeast. Send them to them. And then, like, my parents just around the corner. And I get the calls when they usually get them the way I do it before Christmas. You get the calls like, thank you so much. Thanks for the gift. And then they put that great meat from Omaha Steaks on the grill. They call you back and thank you. Or if they're in your same town, they often invite you over. Steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together special curated gift packages to help take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. It's going to make your life easier. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code Sean at checkout and get $30 off your order when you do that. Send an assortment of the mouthwatering favorites guaranteed to impress, like our favorites, the butcher's cut filet mignon, perfect air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra juicy burgers, even their easy to prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. And Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early, beat the shipping rush, get that early thank you as well. Go to omahasteaks.com and use my promo code Sean at checkout. Order with complete confidence today, knowing that you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com, use promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, at checkout. If you do that, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. And now the star of the show, my friend Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. I am. It is from one large entity in having issues to another one in your reporting. And we go through, you know, we've talked about Pritchard Water so much. And now this is not at that level, but it's some divisiveness around the Mobile Housing Board here. The headline, the MHA president feels bullied by the city. Okay, do tell. What's happening here?
The president of the Mobile Housing Authority, Michael Pierce, sent an email to a person at HUD and basically accused Mayor Sandy Stimson and some of the council members of basically trying to get him fired. It's the easiest way to describe his feelings about the situation. And it stems from what I understand it stems in his mind from some disagreements over how to use Housing Board property the best way, and also the fact that the mayor appoints the Housing Board members and that he's recently required them to sign a undated letter of resignation. So those two things and some other issues are at the head of this.
Yeah, okay. First of all, that you sign an undated letter of resignation. What, that's to put you on notice, or strange.
Okay, there have been somewhat recent issues with boards, these volunteer boards, people not showing up for meetings, people causing the meeting to be delayed, that sort of thing. That's kind of bled over into this new program, this new, I don't really know what to call it, I guess, this new thing the mayor's office is doing where he's going to require all of the people that are appointed by the mayor to boards to basically sign a resignation letter so that if it gets to a point where they're not showing up, instead of having to wait till the
personnel board
end of the term,
okay.
Yeah, they can go ahead and replace them.
Okay, so then you mentioned the issues around this, and that's what, probably people are wondering, okay, why this, because you quote, you talked to the mayor and got the mayor's quote, who said in no way trying to run him out, right, trying to run Pierce out. He said they were untrue. He was the guy that was behind putting Pierce in that position. Pierce is saying that it's the mayor and others trying to move him out. Does he say why, and what does the mayor's office say in response?
Yeah, so I think part of this I think a layer of this is how to do, you know, has to do with housing board property that's not being used, right? So you've got or isn't being used to the caliber that it could be. You've got RV Taylor, you've got Boykin Tower, you've got Thomas James Place, those three areas on the south side of town near where the international airport is going to be located. You had a number of housing board properties there that had residents on them. They have for years been in the process and been telling people that they're going to move people out of there and do something else with that property, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that came to a head recently when I think the mayor's office, and they have said since that they're I think moving away from that plan. But the mayor initially was going to have like a developed 80 cottages there, and only some of which would be low income housing, right? And so instead of doing that, Michael Pierce wanted to renovate some of that space, make it all low income housing and have it developed that way. So there was a disagreement there, according to him, that would be an issue. I think the mayor has said in his statement that they may have moved away from that a little bit. But also there's an issue of the housing board being within the personnel board, right?
Yeah.
That's another big issue. The personnel board, kind of has requirements for hiring and firing of people, and the housing board has to follow some of these things. HUD has already come out and said, we don't want you part of the personnel board. We control your money. You and the city figure it out. So there's been some disagreements over how to do that. I think at one point, and this is another thing the mayor has moved away from, mayor's office has moved away from, there was this idea that the city could take the housing board over, could put them in receivership, and then that would put them under the city, at least partially under the city. And then and they could find a way to get out of the personnel board that way. But
it seems odd to me.
There's a disagreement there with the leadership. Yes.
It just seems odd to me. And so many times you talk about receivership trickling down, right? A higher state entity or a federal entity comes in to take receivership of something. But in this case, I mean, how much does HUD and the feds have to say? Can the city take something if the housing board is HUD, and that's where they get their money from, can the city receivership up, I guess, is the question.
Well, and see, I think that may be part of the reason why the city, you know, that was an idea that the mayor's office had. I think they're, like I said, I think they found out that that's not feasible. Don't really have information on why they decided to say it's not feasible or not pursue it anymore. But I will say that Michael Pierce, in conversations with him, he said that, you know, you can't really wouldn't work out that way because you have to have HUD approval to do anything with HUD property, right? And so housing board is HUD property because that's where the money comes from.
Yeah, who owns
so he
that?
Didn't
who
think that HUD would approve of that?
Who owns that? That's a good question. I mean, the physical structures, are they owned by the Mobile Housing Authority or are they owned by HUD? Like who actually owns that real estate?
They're owned by the housing authority, but they have to have HUD approval to do anything with them. You want to move people out of them, you got to have HUD approval. You want to demolish a complex, got to have HUD approval. So for all intents and purposes, HUD owns it because you have to get HUD approval to do everything.
You know, last time we were talking about this as it relates to the expansion of the downtown airport. It was saying that people that would be displaced by this would be moved to other properties or given, you know, vouchers for Section 8. And I said, I imagine you would have a large number of people that if they would say, yes, move us to Section 8 somewhere. But that's not even going to come up now, I guess. They're backing off of that? Or
well, no, there are a large number of people that probably don't want to be in the same spot. There's also, you know, the federal government has said over and over again and through the Supreme Court that you can't just put people back where there's been a history of poverty. So you've got a situation where you kind of got two ends working against each other, right? You got people, you do have a percentage of those folks that live there that don't want to live there and wouldn't mind moving somewhere else. And you've got the federal government saying, well, we're not going to give money to you to put people back in this area because it's already impoverished. So, but there are a number of people, a percentage of people who do want to stay where they grew up, where their parents grew up, stuff like that, and they're willing to live there. And so I think that is what the Housing Board is thinking about doing when they want to refurbish some of this stuff. And as far as the airport goes, that would make pretty interesting airport property. I know that the Housing Board has at least discussed it in the selling that asset in the past, but it does seem like that has kind of maybe gone, that opportunity has maybe gone by the wayside at this point, at least some of it, because there's a lot of land, and there, I think they're only talking about a portion of where the original complex has stood. So, you know, there's still a possibility they could, I guess, could sell some of it as well.
But HUD would have to approve that.
HUD would have to approve that, and HUD had initially approved for the Mobile Housing Authority to move people out of there. So, but yeah, they would have to approve the sale and all that good stuff. So, we're quite a ways down that before we get to that point.
All right. Well, people read more, of course, LanyapMobile.com. Tell them about picking up the good old-fashioned paper that y'all are still printing going forward in 2023 and doing the online thing as well.
Yeah. Just go to our purple boxes, pick up the paper. If you're old-fashioned like me, you like to flip through it and read it. If you're not old-fashioned like me and you'd prefer to hang out in your underwear and read the paper at your leisure, mm-hmm. You can do that by going to LanyapMobile.com, clicking the subscribe button, and filling out all the prompts. It's $1.50 a week, but keep your eye out for various deals and stuff. We run specials every once in a while, so keep your eyes out for that. Overall, we just appreciate all the support we're getting here in Mobile. We love it, and we really appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate the work y'all are doing. Looking forward to talking to you next week.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Dale Leash, LanyapMobile.com. Y'all go check that out. Pretty interesting story. There's been a couple stories that are linked together on this, and wonder where we end up here between the Housing Board and the city and HUD in that mix as well. Coming right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, get right into my lead-in here. It's time to get on the line at 343-0106, 251-343-0106. Time for Constitutional Quiz, brought to you by L&S Air. Big thank you to my man Larry Skoda and his whole crew making this possible. So here's how it works if you're uninitiated. And so on Fridays, we do this thing where we roll out a Constitution quiz question. If you get this correct now, if you're the first person on the line that gets it correct at 343-0106, if you're the first person gets it correct, you win the fantastic FM Talk 106.5 prize pack. And they're in their own little gift bags. I saw that the other day. Very nice, Dalton. Or Leanna, whoever did that. That was nice. Instead of just giving them to you in a bag, they're like in a gift bag now with our huggers and logoed pens and the eyeglass cleaning kit and all that good stuff. And then you're in the running for the monthly prize. We had an October prize, November prize, and we'll have a December prize. Each of those people will win $100. And at the end of this month, the overall winner will win an additional $500. So you've got a chance to wind up with $600 cash and the priceless FM Talk 106.5 prize pack. So, with that said, it's time for a Constitutional Quiz brought to you by L&S Heating and Air. Band, I said it's time for the Constitutional Quiz. So, once again, you have to, if by the way, and if you're on the line, okay, and if you're not the first person in line, quite often, I'd say more than 50% of the time, that person doesn't get the question correct, and then you're ready to strike, like a mamba, ready to just strike, like a green mamba, whap, and then you win. This one will be, I think I've done this a couple weeks in a row, a multiple choice question. So I'll ask the question, and then I'll give you the multiple choices, and you tell me which one. Now, I will say this. Once the list gets winnowed down by half, and there are four choices in this one. Once we get it winnowed down by half, I don't know if we won't have to go to the next question on this. So, constitutional quiz, you got the, you ready? Hop on the line, 343-0106. I need some people. I've got some people, but if they don't get it right, who's going to sweep in to get it? It's because everybody's opening up Google right now. Don't do that. Do this off your top of your head. So once again, 343-0106. Be ready to win. Let's go to our first caller, and it's Calvin in Gulf Shores. Hey, man.
Calvin. Hey, John. How's it going?
Good, man. Are you feeling it? You feeling pretty good about this today?
Man, I hope so. Okay. I'm really feeling good about it.
Okay. So the question, and all the other people now are listening intently if you don't get it right. The question, I'll give you the question, then I'll give you the multiple choice answers. The question is, where did the Constitutional Convention meet in 1787? So where did the Constitutional Convention meet in 1787? Your choices are Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington. Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington. Those are your four choices. The question, where did the Constitutional Convention meet in 1787? Calvin, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Boston.
Calvin. Oh, it was tough. Calvin, that's not right. So Calvin missed it, which means we go to, who's next? Kyle? Okay, Kyle in somewhere. Hey, Kyle.
Hey.
Hey, Kyle, you're up now. The question, where did the Constitutional Convention meet in 1787? The four choices were Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Washington. But one we know is incorrect because of what Calvin did. So where did the Constitutional Convention meet in 1787? I'll winnow it down. New York, Philadelphia, or Washington?
Philadelphia.
Holy cow. Let me get... Hey, where's my band? Where's my sound effects? Where that is the right answer. And that is a winner, Kyle. I'm going to put you on hold. Kyle has won this week's constitutional quiz, and Leanna will get your information. So Kyle's won that fantastic prize pack. Okay, so he's got that going for him, which is nice. He's got the prize pack, and now he's in the running for the December $100. And if he wins the December $100, that puts him in the running with two others to win an additional $500 from L&S Heating and Air. And so you could walk away from this thing with, once again, the priceless FM Talk 106.5 goodie bag with all our logoed stuff. But in addition, $600, you know, to bring in the new year. Good work, Kyle. Congratulations, Kyle, and we'll do it again next week right here on Midday Mobile. All right, coming up in just a few minutes in hour number two of the show, my man Panini Pete. So you know Panini Pete, right? You know him. He's a guy who cooks things, and he'll be on TV shows cooking things. He's quite the entrepreneur as well, quite the supporter of veterans and active military, and also an author. New book coming out from Panini Pete. His new book's called Spatula Success. We'll talk to him about that book coming back. Also, my friend Joe Savage, Roads of Hope, that great charity doing God's work, literally doing God's work in Moldova, Ukraine, Poland, and a charity that's funded from right here at home that's making impacts in lives half a world away. He'll talk to us about that as well. It's all coming up. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way.